May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1141. God is the refuge of his saints, when storms of sharp distress invade, ere we can offer our complaints, behold him present with his aid. Hymn 1141.
Thank you. morning I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the last chapter in the word of God. Revelation, chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now let us read part of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 15 to the end. That little group of letters that follows Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 15. Thinking of the things that we've just read in the Revelation. From verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the husband see, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. May the Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word. May he help us now in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come to thee through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, feeling our sin, our shame, our unworthiness of anything from thy hand. We cleave to thy precious promise, we plead thy precious word, that we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, unto the mercy seat, to find grace to help in time of need. We plead that thou hast said, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it, and that we might enter through that new and living way, consecrated for us through the veil, to come into the holiest of all, even through the blood of Jesus. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou art the head of the church of God. Thou art the bridegroom of the church. Lord, thou art he who art the captain of our salvation. Thou hast laid down thy life, thou hast shed thy precious blood, thou hast taken it again to redeem unto thyself a people, an innumerable multitude, that shall be thy bride, that shall be united with thee forever, and shall be forever with thee in heaven. Lord, we do thank thee that thou art the God of salvation, and that thou art he who shall bring about that glorious plan. And Lord, as we gather together in the church of God today and in the assemblies of thy people, we be mindful of that part of that glorious plan that involves sinners, and Lord, we believe involves some of those of us here, that by thy grace that thou hast put us amongst the children, feelingly so, that we might know that we are part of thy church, that we are united unto thee, that thou hast given us thy Holy Spirit, and that it is by thy Spirit that we live and move and have our being. And O Lord, we thank thee for this day of grace, for the freedoms and liberties that we have to gather around thy word, to hear thy word, and Lord, with thy promised blessing upon it, my word shall not return unto me void, it shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. Lord, hear prayer for this assembly here this day. Do bless their souls, bless them eternally. Grant them an interest in the Saviour's precious blood that is felt and known and believed and received by them as a very precious gift, the blessing of eternal life, the blessing of Almighty God. And Lord, may there be those here that rejoice in thy salvation. Lord, hear prayer for them. Those that seek thee, make them finders today. Those that tremble at thy word, do lead them unto thee. May they see in the Lord Jesus Christ a smiling God, a reconciled God, a God that doth reconcile sinners unto himself. O Lord, we do seek of thee that thou hast comfort thy people, thy church, that thou hast be with them, support them in the trials and tribulations of life's journey, that thou dost remember those in particular today that are in bereavement. Lord, help and do be with them. We pray, Lord, for any that are unconcerned. Lord, for those that are dead in trespasses and sins. Those who have not yet been brought unto thee, but in thy purposes shall be. But Lord, we pray thy word might be a stirring up word today. Lord, that there might be thy spirit with the word to quicken into life, to make alive, and to bring into a real concern. O Lord, we stand upon this earth. Very soon we shall not. O Lord, do a work of grace. Get to thyself honour and glory in the salvation of sinners, and do bless with a making alive of those that are dead here this day. We thank thee for the families here. We thank thee for the children, the little ones, and for that rising generation. We pray that thou wouldst help each family and each parent to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that thou hast blessed the children with thy grace while they are young. Do bless the work of the Sunday school here, and bless the children as they gather in the middle of the day. May they love thee and love thy word. May they love the house of God and the people of God, and desire to be not only like them, but to be them. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast blessed the church here and add unto its number such as should be saved. Lord, we thank thee that in our denomination there has been, and in those of whom we know and our loved ones, this year many that have been brought to know thee, to put thee on in open profession. Lord, thou hast moved amongst our churches, and not only our churches, but elsewhere and other gatherings. Lord, we thank thee for it. We would take courage, and we pray that there might be the beginnings, the sounds of a great abundance of rain. And Lord, yet we come unto a time of such importance in our nation. We commence upon a week of which there must be decisions made, of which thy will be made known concerning this nation. And O Lord, we pray that thou hast have mercy upon us. We acknowledge, Lord, those tokens were good and encouragements, but they have been given in spite of our sin, our provocation, our departures from thee. In the churches we have been indifferent, we have been careless and prayerless, very often hardened. Lord, there are many gatherings that we have not gathered with. There's that many times we have gathered and there's not been the urgency of prayer. And Lord, we have not from our hearts sighed and cried upon the abominations done in the land. And yet, Lord, they are so open, and over our parliaments flies the flags of iniquity and sin, and yet even imitating the glorious colours of the bow set in the cloud, a sign of thine everlasting covenant. Truly the adversary does come as an angel of light and seeks to undermine and to counteract every blessing of the church of God. Lord, thou hast given salvation by grace. He brings in salvation by works. Thou hast given the beautiful music, as we have read of the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And Satan brings in all of the worldly music and bass and evil, vile music. Lord, thou hast brought in the blessings of the family, and of the family unit, and of the husband and wife, and the adversary doth mar it and brings in the perversions of a godless world. O Lord, we do and are mindful that these things are in our land. And, O Lord, we do pray to be separated by thy grace, delivered, plucked as a brand from the burning, to be of those who are saved out of the overthrow. We fear we live much in the times that Sodom and Gomorrah and that Lot did. And, O Lord, do leave us not hardened and indifferent, but, Lord, do grant us to have even as his soul was vexed day by day, so may ours be too. But, Lord, as we come unto this time, and thou hast warned our nation through floods, through many things of thy displeasure, Lord, we hear the rod. We realise where we stand at this time. Thou art he that doth appoint over nations, the powers that be. O appoint over us, Lord, those who shall fear thy name, those who shall regard thy word, those who shall walk in a way that does not provoke thee unto anger. O may righteousness again exalt this nation. We are mindful that even if we did not have the influence of Europe on this nation, the leaders that we have at this present time are bent to backsliding from thee, haters of thee, though with mocking thee and acknowledging thee outwardly. O Lord, we do cry unto thee. Lord, begin at the church of God and grant a real turning, a real reviving. Lord, extend through this nation and to those in authority over us. Bless them, bless our Queen, the royal household, preserve and keep them and incline their hearts unto thee with real turning. O do that which is good for thy honour and glory, for the church of God, for the generations to come, the young people that are being blessed in our churches. Do that which shall be for their good and their children and children's children. But O forsake us not, appear for us and bless our souls with the fear of the Lord and the grace of God in our hearts. And if thou shouldst be pleased to hear our prayers, and even as we have and are mindful of these blessings amongst us in those putting thee on in open profession and seek to give thanks unto thee, help us to remember in everything to give thanks and to watch thy hand. May we be able to see in this week some token, some evidence that thou hast heard our prayers, that thou art ordering men's hearts in providence, that thou art bringing things about, that even the heathen and even the world doth marvel at and wonder at. O, thou lift up thyself, and may thou get to thyself honour and glory. Lord, have mercy, forgive us our many, many sins. And as we come now to thy word and the privilege of hearing it, O take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Pour out thy Spirit. Revive our souls. Bless us with the power of God that accompanies salvation. And bring about those real changes to thine honour and glory, a people what they are by the grace of God. O recover us from every place where we have gone, gather us again, bring us to thy dear feet, make us to be to thy honour and glory. We ask thee these mercies through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 274. The Lord in Zion reigns, and will his people keep. 'Tis he the universe sustains, and well secures his sheep. In hymn 274.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, reading for our text, verse 17. Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I want to speak with the Lord's help this morning, feeling much to need the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak of the Church of God under the influence of the Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. You have very vivid pictures in these last chapters of the Revelation of the end of the world, of the bringing in of that blessed kingdom of our Lord, where no more sin and sorrow is, but Christ is all in all, and his people, his church, are complete in him. We have a picture in the 21st chapter of the church of God. In the second verse, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." A picture there of the church of God, every redeemed sinner, all of the people of God, pictured as a city and pictured as a bride adorned for her husband. "And a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All things are to be made new." And we have this then opened up further in the chapter that we read. We have the picture of the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We have the picture of this river and the tree of life in the midst of it, and on either side of this river, and the fruits that he yielded every month and for the healing of the nations. What a contrast to the Garden of Eden, where the tree of life also in the midst of that garden, and man banished out of that garden, and the reason why, lest he put forth his hand to the tree of life and live forever as a sinner, live forever alienated from God, live forever in the miserable fallen state that he was. No, man is not to live forever like that. Yes, those outside of Christ will. But in the plan of God's salvation, when the Lord gives them eternal life, it is abundant life. He gives them that which shall be to his glory, and their good and their comfort forever and forever. And between that banishment from the Garden of Eden and between the blessings that we have here is wrought and unfolded to the people of God a wonderful plan. They are shown the purposes of God and shown the people of God. We live in a gospel day when that plan is wonderfully made and opened up, and the apostle speaks of it as the gospel to go forth into every nation and every kindred and every tongue. And the result of that is a people to be blessed and called and saved and gathered together. And what is absolutely vital in that gathering and in that plan is the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord sent forth his disciples to preach the gospel, he said, "Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." As it was vital that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the Trinity, that it should be the Holy Spirit that should overshadow Mary, that holy thing that should be born of thee should be called the Son of God, that it was vital that he should be filled with the Spirit without measure and come into the world in that way. So it must be that every one of his children are also born of that same Spirit and quickened by that same Spirit. You know, dear Job, he said, and he knew the promises of the seed of the woman. He knew the expectation that the salvation of the church should come through one born. He said, how can a clean thing come out of an unclean? I naturally know, but through the work of God and through the Holy Spirit, yes, the miracle of the coming of the Son of Man. And how can a clean thing come out of an unclean sinner? How can there be a vessel of mercy to the praise and glory of God that come out of a sinner out of himself? It is an impossible thing. There's absolutely nothing in your heart or mind but sin and disgrace and misery and everything alienable to God. But the difference is through the Spirit. And that is what I desire to set before you this morning. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so I want to speak with the Lord's help, firstly, of the Spirit. This is how our text begins, and the Spirit. And then secondly, of the bride of Christ, and the Spirit and the bride. And then we have thirdly, the fruits of the Spirit. When the Spirit is with the bride and with the people of God, then she has a very specific language, and that which is said. It won't be the bride on her own saying this. It is the Spirit and the bride say, come. We want to speak then first of the Holy Spirit. Now be very mindful of this, that the Holy Spirit that is given, our Lord spoke much of him as the Comforter, as the Spirit of Truth, as the Spirit that shall receive of mine and show it unto you. But what he also told us of the Spirit is that when he, that Spirit of Truth, is come, he shall not speak of himself. He shall not be foremost. He shall not be in the preeminence. But the fruits and effect of his work, that shall be known, and he shall preeminently glorify Christ and lift up Christ. The Holy Spirit, of course, always has existed. You cannot divide the Trinity. We have revealed in the Word of God the truths of a triune God. We read right at the beginning, in the formation of man, let us make man in our own image. We read after the flood, when man began to make the Tower of Babel, let us confound their language. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have at the baptizing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord being baptized. We have the voice of the Father from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending upon him. And in the epistles of John, we have the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Always there has been, always there will be, as God is eternal, the I Am That I Am, the Holy Spirit. In the days of the Old Testament, we are told that the Spirit spake through the prophets in different ways. But in these last days that God has spoken unto us by his Son, in the days of the prophets, the Spirit's work was mainly confined unto the prophets and to the nation of Israel, the people that the Lord after the flesh should come. But a vast difference is known in these gospel days. From Pentecost, the Spirit's operations and work is to be throughout every nation and kindred and tongue. The Spirit's work is not to be any more through prophets, but through the preached word. And it should be then, as the apostle said to the Thessalonians, whom he preached to, that they receive the word not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. We do not claim that any preaching is inspired. The apostles were inspired in that which they spoke that is recorded in the word of God. Not all of their utterances and all that they did was inspired, and certainly we have that with Peter being rebuked of the Lord and then later rebuked by Paul himself in how he was dealing. The word of God is the inspired word of God, and those that wrote it, Old Testament and New, were inspired. It is God breathed. The Holy Spirit is the author of the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the author of the coming of our Lord to this earth. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters, and by the Lord Jesus Christ all things were created. And it is through the Spirit, as our Lord said to Nicodemus, he must be born again, he must be born of the Spirit and of water. If not, a man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But in these last days, they are days of the Spirit. From the time of Christ's first coming to the time of his second coming, as set before us here, they are days of the Spirit. The Old Testament church looked forward to the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. As Solomon said, will God dwell indeed upon earth? Heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I have builded. That church, they looked for his coming, he came. We read the accounts, we have the witnesses of his coming. He most certainly came, and the empty tomb testifies of that, and the Spirit's work in the world and in every believer testifies of that. One said, when the apostles were preaching, if this work be a work of man, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, no, what man can go against it or can stem it? God's work will prevail. Man's work will come to nothing. And it is God's work through the Holy Spirit that is vital in this day of grace and in this day in which we are in. And the church of God, as the church in the Old Testament looked for Christ's first coming, so they look now for his second coming. And they will only do that as moved and worked on by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, in the prophets, looked for every intimation and were watching for every sign and every encouragement that there was that the Lord would be coming. And so the church of God as well. You know, our Lord had a most solemn rebuke for those in his day, that they could discern the signs of the sky, that when it was red sky at night, it would be, as we might call, shepherd's delight. It was going to be a good day the next day. But red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning, is in effect the same way as what we speak it. But ye cannot discern the times, signs of the times. They could not see the things that were happening and compare them with the word of God. They could not see that they were in times that the word was being fulfilled, that Christ was amongst them, that these things were being done in their midst. May we not fall into the same condemnation. And the only way that we will not is to have the Spirit abide with us and be found in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, have the life of God in our souls. We are told that as the body without the Spirit is dead, so then without the Spirit, we have no spiritual life either. How vital it is that we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, unseen, and yet the power of God, unseen, but not just an influence, a very real person. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. A real person. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, a real person, vital for the church of God, promised to the church of God, especially promised in the assemblies of the people of God, to make that word effectual, to take the word that is spoken and to cause it to enter into the heart and to have a very real effect. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I want to look secondly at the bride. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The picture that God has given of his church. A bride, one that is anticipating being joined to a husband, to enjoy them for the rest of their lives. One that takes great care to be prepared for that husband, to be kept only for that husband and only for that person that she loves. And that husband that, as we read, watches over, loves, gives himself for that bride. What a picture it is. That which we read in Ephesians of the care over the wife by the husband and of the mutual reverence and love one for another and the submitting one to another. And the apostle says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The bride of Christ, here below, is being prepared. The church of God made up through individual members, that each individual particularly is loved with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, the Lord will draw that soul. I want to speak of the bride of Christ in three ways. And thinking of the bride of Christ already in the mind of God, already chosen in him from the foundation of the world, a people given by the Father to the Son to redeem those that are counted by the Lord and said as his sheep. But I want to look at that bride, not as in the mind of God, as what they truly are, as elect and chosen, but as it is in this world. And so when we look at that bride of Christ first, we must look at them as they are by nature, the same as every child of wrath that comes into this world, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, not desiring the things of God, having no difference whatsoever, as in any outward way. You might say, well, not some, they're in the churches and they are born into godly families. And may we never despise that. The apostle, he speaks of the Jews. What advantage hath the Jew? They were given to them the oracles of God, the word of God, and all of the promises. There were benefits and blessings in that, and there certainly is when one is called by grace and they've been brought up in a family where the word of God is read, where the things of the Lord are walked out and brought up in the house of God. Is a great benefit to that person. It may be for many years they've despised it and it has been no real spiritual good to them. But when the Holy Spirit is given, then it is a real benefit and a blessing of what they have learnt in their Sunday school, learnt in the house of God. And we should never ever despise that. In the providence of God, he does put his people amongst his people, and in many cases it is a real token and a evidence for good. But may we never, never mistake just an outward form of religion for life and for grace. There's a vast, vast difference between a natural religion and a spiritual religion, and that which is wrought by the Holy Ghost. And I want to be very clear with you here. It's a great blessing to be in the house of God. Seek to be there as often as you can, and to hear the word of God. But never ever think that just because you're in the house of God and that you've got some form, and very often there's a very strictly following to a form, and that's the religion. That's what they trust. What men trust in without the Spirit. Don't have personal discernment, but just have a strict adherence to a self-imposed code or a denominational imposed code. And that is not saving. What we need is the Spirit of God. So the Church of God by nature, yes, you may have forms of religion. Yes, you might have things that may appear to pass as godly. But the Church of God in herself is nothing but sin and disgrace. She is fallen, she is wretched, she is cast out as to the loathing of herself. She is without strength. She is alienated from God through wicked works. And I may say this, dear friends, every one of you here that shall be, in the Lord's mercy, brought to be in the Church of God will know what I've been saying by experience. The work of the Spirit, as the Spirit only can, show really what we are by nature. So really how far depraved and fallen and vile and alienated from God we are. And I say this, if you've never felt that, if you've never known it, then you yet still are dead in trespasses and sins. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it will tell you, you don't need to be anything special. God will deal with you different than everyone else in the world because you go to Swavesey Chapel and you belong to a good denomination and you pass over all the warnings in the Word of God and everything that's put there, you say, that doesn't apply to me.
He applies to that one that's fallen outwardly and one that's walking wrong, but not me. And that's our own deceitful heart. Be fearful if you find this, that your heart is almost subconsciously disannulling everything that's said from the pulpit and every warning in the Word of God. That does not come from the Spirit of God. Our poor old fallen nature will resist everything from the Lord, from the Word. We have in, I think it's hymn 710, "Nor are men willing to have the truth told. The sight is too killing for pride to behold." That is what the church of God is. The bride of Christ is on her own by nature. But then what is she? As quickened by the Spirit of God. As given life, the Lord says, "I pass by thee when thou wast in thy blood and bid thee live." And the Lord uses the word to quicken into life. You may come into the chapel one day dead and careless and indifferent, and something that is said, one word that is said, might be a hymn that is given out, might be something that is spoken in prayer, and it goes into your heart and it fastens there. And it changes everything. Life is given, instantly given. You know, some teach that the new birth is a gradual affair, as slowly being taught the things of God. The new birth is an instant thing. Life is given. And yes, there'll be much ignorance, and from that point it is given. Then there is teaching. Then there is a growth in grace. The vital thing is that there is life, and that soul then, it has ears, it has feelings, it has what the Spirit gives it. A life that was not before. The Bible, a different Bible, the hymn book, a different hymn book, the services of the house different. The will is changed, the desires are changed, the outlook of the world is changed. The life that God gives him, imperfect in knowledge in many ways and needing to be instructed, that is the instruction of the Word of God, but the life is the vital thing. Our Lord said to those that believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The soul then that is quickened, this is what the Lord does for his bride, for his church. He makes them alive, a living people. The church of God is spiritually alive, which spiritual life we lost in Adam. The rest of the world lies in darkness and unbelief and no life at all. As we said, one of the first effects of the Spirit quickening into life is to make to see one's true condition, what we really are. You know, if we were in a darkened room and there was dust everywhere and everything was out of place, you might think it was all right while it remained dark, but you bring a light into there and then you see what it really is like. You that look after your homes and you think that you've nicely polished and dusted all over the house, and then it happens that the sun shines nice and brightly through the window and shines brightly through the house, and you look and on all the surfaces you see all of the dust. You think, "I did a pretty poor job of that. It looked all right without the sun shining on it, but when the sun shined on it, it didn't look right anymore." How we need the Holy Spirit to shine, to quicken into life. Our Lord said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." The Apostle writes in the beginning of that epistle to the Ephesians, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The bride of Christ quickened. But I want to speak now of the influence of the Spirit in our believers. And the contrast, when a soul is quickened into life, they're not always in the Spirit. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We read David in Psalm 51, who knew the sweet communion and fellowship of the Lord, but he had sinned and the Lord had chastened him, the Spirit had been grieved, and his cry is, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He was still the bride of Christ. He was still one of Christ's redeemed dear people. But the Spirit had been withdrawn and grieved. He had lost the comforts of salvation. And I really want to stress this. There may be those of you here, and you have lost the Spirit. Looking back, and you wonder, am I really one of the Lord's? Can I be so hard and cold and lifeless and dead and prayerless? You might go back over your life and you question those times that you felt the love of God in your soul and the joy of the Lord and the helps that you've had. And there may be those things you cannot deny. But what is so evident, the bride of Christ always needs the Spirit's influence for there to be any spices, any fruits to flow out. The Lord taught this in another way, speaking of the church of God as being a vine and having a root and united to that root. And he says that unless ye remain in that vine and united, ye cannot bear fruit. He says, from me is thy fruit found. This sometimes is a very painful lesson to learn, that we cannot keep alive our own soul. We cannot serve God and mammon. And when we walk contrary to the Lord and he withdraws his Spirit, then we find what we are of our own, what we are without him. And then it's not just a doctrine, without me we can do nothing. It's something that is really felt and really proved and known. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that's not just known as something we read in the Word, but really felt. Because we know what it is when the Spirit is withdrawn, when we don't have his sweet influence and blessing and grace. If we know that, how tender that will make us in our walk. How careful, how much that we would seek that the Lord wouldn't take his Spirit from us, or that we wouldn't be left to do things that grieve his Holy Spirit. How it would give us then to really be able to discern. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Then they shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, him that serveth God and him that serveth not. The Lord says to those that would be critical and judging others, you cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of another's eye. How vital it is that the Spirit of the Lord, the candle of the Lord, search our own hearts, and that we be found in the Spirit and under that Spirit rightly discern what is from the Lord. And what is from man? What comes from the flesh? And what comes from the Spirit of the living God? The Lord has promised that he shall come and dwell in his people, that he shall bring forth from them all that is pleasing unto God. But vital it is that we have the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to then
look at the fruits of the Spirit. We said before that the Spirit does not speak of itself. Some of the Lord's people are very tried, and sometimes it really holds them back in prayer. When they're told, you must have Spirit-indicted prayer. Prayer is a mockery if it's not. And so they think, well, I mustn't pray, because if I pray and is not in the Spirit, that's offensive to God. And that soul that is tender before the Lord is being held back until they know that it is the Spirit, then they won't walk in the Lord's ways at all. But the Lord has not said that he shall come in such a way that they shall know this is the Spirit. He has given to understand how the Spirit works upon a sinner's heart. Now, the Lord spoke, again going back to John 3, of the Spirit being like the wind. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. There is the effect and that which is heard, but is not really discerned, is it? And so it is the fruits of the Spirit that we must look at. Not trying to see, as it were, the Spirit, but the fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. By the work of the Spirit ye shall know. Was it not John or William Gadsby that they cried out to him once when he was walking down the street, pointing to a drunk in the gutter, and they said, there, Mr. Gadsby, there is the fruit of your preaching. And he said, yes, he said, if that was the fruit of my work, that is why he's in the gutter. But if that had been the Spirit's work, he wouldn't be in the gutter. The Spirit's work will make a change. And so we have the fruits of the Spirit. Now we have in this verse, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. When the Spirit is with the church of God and the people of God, then their desire is that the Lord will come. Recently I've seen, and some of you may have been witnesses of the Lord's people as they near their journey's end. And you know it's a sacred thing to see one that has this language, that really longs for the Lord to come. They have a good hope and they love the Lord, not because they're told to love the Lord, not because they think that they're expected to. They love him because they do love him, and it springs out from their hearts. They've sought to serve him through their lives. They do not trust in their own righteousness. They trust in the Lord's, and he is everything to them. And that is the whole pinnacle of their life. That is what they are waiting for. This is why they've attended unto the means of grace. They've looked for him. They've longed for him. They've wanted to feed upon his word, to hear his word, to be with his people. And at last they want to be with Christ, which is far better where he is. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a very searching thing to see those in that position where every one of us here shall come. And what will be our language, dear friends? Our language then will be what it is now. If our language is now, depart from me, I desire not the knowledge of thy ways, don't think on a deathbed it's going to suddenly change and that it'll be now, come, come Lord Jesus. Our Lord has said, in this, the first part of this chapter, when he speaks about his coming, in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And here we have the church, and they agree exactly with the Lord. And they want him to come quickly. In fact, it is right through this passage, when we come to the end of it, then we read in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly.
And the church says, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. They so want that to be so. How many of you here, am I included, that are a pilgrim? They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country, that long for the Lord's appearing and coming. It will be for his second coming when he shall come with power and great glory in the clouds of heaven, that for many it shall be in the way of death that he shall come. And so when the Spirit and the bride is together, when the bride speaks as by the Spirit, this is the language, come, desiring for the Lord. Certainly in the days of my unregeneracy, that was not my language. I never wanted it to be. I never desired it to be. Never thought of it at all. And that may be the case with some of you here. But then we have another spirit here, a fruit of that spirit. And let him that heareth say, come. He's coming now, shall we say, into more a practical way. You might say, well, how do I know that I have the spirit in saying, come? Well, we would know that spirit of desiring the Lord Jesus, but here it comes to another real clear evidence, hearing. Hearing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again and again you have it in the letters to the Revelation here. The Spirit speaks, and a dead man cannot hear. Dead in trespasses and sins, he may hear outwardly, but not inwardly. Have we known a difference in our hearing? When we have heard in a different way, so it's really had an effect with us. You know, in the war sometimes they used to catch those that were spies, and the spies were very careful so that they made out they weren't English and that they were the countries they were spying in. And when they interrogated them, and they'd be very careful that they never let out who they were. And sometimes they tried to trick them, and they'd lock them up in a room, and they'd set a fire in the corridor and make the smoke, and then they'd cry out in English, fire, fire, and see whether they would respond to it, whether it would really have an effect, whether they would really understand. You know, we can have all sorts of warnings in the church of God. But if we do not understand that language, if the Spirit hasn't made us to understand it, though we might see every sign that men and women have been hastened off to eternity, you could hear fire, fire, but a deaf ear will not hear it. But an ear that is opened by the Lord, mine ear hath he opened. My sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me. They hear the warnings, they hear the voice of God. Why do they? Because of the Spirit. The Spirit gives a hearing ear. May be very clear on that. May those of you here who have known this difference in your hearing, and you now hear the warnings, you hear the word, and it has an effect in your lives, it has an effect how you pray, how you walk, may you know very clearly that it is the Spirit that does that. It is not a natural man quickening himself. And you know differences between hearing times as well, not hearing the same every time. You know the difference between having the Spirit apply the word and the Spirit not. Fruit then of hearing. But then we also have a fruit of those that are athirst. And let him that is athirst come. This changes the line. Before it was the bride saying, come. She desires the Lord to come to them, but now he is put in the other way. Here is the church, the bride, thirsting. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We think of the woman at the well of Samaria in John 4. And the Lord spoke that he had water, living water, that if a man took of that, he would not come hither to draw. And she said, Lord, evermore, give me this water. We've sung of it, haven't we, in the hymn. We've sung of it. We have it here in the revelation of that river of water of life. The written and incarnate word are the same. The word of God that brings the love of God, the grace of God. How did the Lord begin to give that woman that well of water? He said, go call thy husband. Immediately brought her. Thou, God, seest me. Thou knowest all about me. And my sins are brought to remembrance. That's how the Lord began with her. In answering her request for that living water. But here is one, the bride of Christ, and they are thirsting. Do you thirst after the things of God? You know what it is to thirst in a natural way. Sometimes we don't much in our land. We have so much water. Years ago over in Australia, remember I went over to an island in one of our bays, and there was hardly any shelter at all. There was no shops, and I brought over, silly like, just some fizzy drinks, and one of the ferries was cancelled, and it was 5 or 6 hours or so in blazing heat before I could get back. I've never forgotten that time. I was so thirsty, just a glass of water, some water. And we seldom experience that. In our land, we have water so readily available. But if we know that and know that in a spiritual way, you long for the Lord, you long for his word, you thirst for that. You're not satisfied with the things of this world. There's an aching void that this world cannot fill. And where that is felt, the word has a sweet invitation, let him that is athirst come. Let that one so blessed in that way by the Spirit come to the Lord. They're invited. The Lord has beautiful invitations. Here's one for thirst. But when we think of, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is to characters that are made that by the Holy Spirit of God. And they're invited unto a gospel feast unto the Lord. Those who are made like little children, suffer the children to come unto me and forbid them not. Literally, the children are welcome. Don't think, those of you children here, that you've got to get to a certain age before you can be saved. You seek that the Lord would save you now while you're young. And you, those of you that teach the children, don't just aim at just teaching them the Bible stories, but impress upon them the worth of their soul and the need of their salvation. There's some blessed testimonies, a couple I've known that were 3 years old when they were taken and gave real evidence of being the bride of Christ, real blessed and desired that Christ would come and take them home, even at that young age. And then we have here as well a willingness. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Never despise a willingness. The Lord says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Spirit makes willing. We are not by nature, in whatever it is, whether it is in providence, whether it is submission to the will of God, and we think of our Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's the hardest thing, impossible thing, for one in fallen nature to be willing to the sovereign decrees and purposes and ways of the Lord. We resist his will. We hate his ways. But to be brought by the work of the Spirit and God's grace, to be in exact oneness with the Lord, and some of you here will have known at times in trials where you've gone and entered into those trials and you felt to be fighting against the Lord and rebelling against him, and he's softened your heart and he's brought you to be willing, and you may perhaps remember the time and the place where he's brought your will to be at exact line with his, one. And that has been a very precious time, and you've been thankful for that. You bless the Lord for that, such a contrast from being at such enmity. Those of you that are parents, no doubt that you have known those times when you've had a child and there's been a difference between your rebelliousness, you've chastened them, you've corrected them, but there's this conflict. And when that has been healed, when perhaps a child has come up and thrown their arms around you and said, "I am sorry," and there's been that real oneness and knitting together, the conflict, the aggravation is not there. There's peace, there's love, there's oneness together. Bless the Lord for a willingness to go with the Lord where he'd lead you, to be with him where he is, to be submissive to his will, to be found with him. There's a beautiful word here: whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The precious fullness in the word of God, to walk up and down that with sweet delight, to be taking, yes, by the grace and Spirit of God, those precious morsels, and being filled with it, being satisfied with the goodness of God, to have a table spread. You think of Mephibosheth, lame in both his feet, but sitting at the king's table and having all of that provision brought into the banqueting house, and the banner over them being a banner of love. May we know something then, personally, of being the bride of Christ, of having the Spirit with us, having even those times when we have felt the Spirit not as being a help to clarify to us that the Lord has given us his Spirit, that we know what we are of ourselves, and that we know what we are also by the Spirit of God. What different hearers it will make us, what different preachers it will make us, when we come absolutely dependent and realizing our need of the Holy Spirit to bless that word, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his sufferings, what he is to the church. He is the bridegroom. This bride is being prepared for him. The end union is an everlasting union. It is like a betrothed, an engagement here below that is to be brought to the wedding supper of the Lamb above, to be forever with the Lord. No more, not till death us do part. Our Lord has died and risen again, never to die again. That union shall never be dissolved. What a precious thing to be, a bride of Christ, one that has the work of the Spirit and the voice of the Spirit, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. May the Lord bless the word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £695, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day, And our friends at Fenstanton hold a special prayer meeting on Friday at 7:15. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097 will commence at verse 2.
Israel.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.